Welcome back to the Rested Culture Show, and this is episode 68. And I just want to say, Mr. Trump, you've got a friend in Mick Mulvaney. Yes, old Mick has taken up the job of Chief of Staff. And when the road looks tough ahead, there isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. That's right, you've got a friend in Mick. And I want to thank Seb Skelly for the intro bit here. And folks, you know what I really find creepy, darn creepy, about Mick Mulvaney is the fact that he's pledged loyalty to Donald Trump. That's, I don't know, something about that is just creepy. And this is according to the Washington Post. Mick Mulvaney has pledged loyalty to Donald Trump. I mean, do we need any more of this, really? I mean, whatever happened to country first? These Trump loyalists, you know, they all like to wear that MAGA, MAGA hat. They all love to wear it, and they feel like they've made America great. But folks, that's just a big old red hat that these loyalists take off at night. Pledging loyalty to Donald Trump, you know, it doesn't make America great again. We've seen that. I mean, we've had 2 years of this. It's not working. It's time we had an honest-to-God, country-first agenda. Not a bunch of Make America Great Again hypocrites, for God's sakes. I think we're all getting sick of it, aren't we? Well, on this podcast, we're going to recap just a few of the swirling storms around Donald Trump this past week. And we're going to have to, unfortunately, folks, we're going to have to armor up once again to defend the Affordable Care Act after Texas Judge Reed O'Connor voted the entire Affordable Care Act was unconstitutional. And of course, that puts health care for 20 million Americans in peril, to which Donald Trump remarked just this weekend that this was a great ruling. This was a great ruling by federal judge Reed O'Connor. I mean, do I need to even ask? Is he nuts? I mean, what the hell is so great about 20 million Americans losing health care? What's so great about that? I mean, as long as you're rich, you've got a friend in Donald Trump, folks. As long as you're rich, you got a friend in Donald Trump. Well, the first storm that we're going to discuss here is the big question of, number one, where did the money for Trump's inaugural fund come from? And number two, did Trump or his businesses benefit? Once again, we're going back to the emoluments clause. You know, presidents are not supposed to benefit from their office, and it certainly looks like old DT is getting a lot of benefit, if you ask me. It's starting to smell like a money grab is what it is, folks. It's a free-for-all here by the Trump family, I'm afraid to say. And all these little storms, it just picture it like an onion. They don't smell any better when you start peeling off the layers. None of them smell any better as you start to peel these layers off, which is what we're going to do. And additionally, we've got this lawsuit here that the attorneys general of both Maryland and D.C. have subpoenaed the Trump Organization and their related entities for tax business records, claiming that the president is in violation of the emoluments clause in the Constitution that prohibits the president from getting financial benefit from foreign or domestic governments. And of course, on Friday, the Trump administration filed in court to block these subpoenas. And again, that is the attorney generals of both Maryland and D.C., Washington, D.C., who have filed these subpoenas to get this information. So this is a storm that's sitting there just festering and brewing here that erupted last week. And you want to know what? You want to talk about the money grab, the Trump money grab. There are reports that Ivanka Trump doubled the fee for the Trump International Hotel ballroom to $175,000 a day. And there's also reports that a Saudi-backed veterans group, if you can believe it, I mean, a Saudi-backed U.S. Veterans Group, booked 500 nights at the same hotel. I mean, that sort of sounds like they're really working overtime to try to figure out how to get around the emoluments clause, but still give President Trump a benefit? Doesn't it sound like that? The second storm that we've got brewing this past week is the fact that in August of 2015, Donald Trump met with National Enquirer owner David Pecker and Michael Cohen. Those three, they met, they discussed spiking the Karen McDougal story. And as you know, the Karen McDougal story, we've discussed that in the past. And in that discussion, they came up with to keep that information of the affair between Karen McDougal and Donald Trump out of the public eye, David Pecker, who, of course, among other publications, he operates the National Enquirer, they decided that for $150,000 to Karen McDougal, they would keep that story, they would keep her quiet, and David Pecker said he would keep that story from coming out by spiking that story by saying that, oh, by the way, if you want that $150,000, no, you cannot talk about the fact that you had an affair with President Trump. So the three had met and actually conspired to keep that story from the public eye. And this all happened sort of right after the Billy Bush tape, you know, where Donald Trump was quoted as grabbing woman. I mean, it just doesn't get any worse. And as we know, Michael Cohen also paid off Stormy Daniels for Trump to kill that affair story. And she only got $130,000 to do that. But both of these stories were to keep people quiet, these two ladies quiet, so that they would not affect the outcome of the election. They wanted to ensure, obviously, that Donald Trump didn't have any more storm clouds over his chances of becoming president. So to, in effect, try to affect the outcome of the election, they squashed those stories from coming out in public. I mean, it's criminal as it gets, folks. It's as criminal as it gets. And there's more than this. I've got a third storm we're going to talk about, but there's other stuff going on. I'm not even getting into the Manafort. I'm not even getting into the Robert Mueller situation and the probe. I mean, these are just things that have bubbled up last week. And the third one here is last Thursday, a Russian, her name is Maria Butina, pleaded guilty to a single charge of conspiring to act as a foreign agent. And she also admitted to being involved in an organized effort that was backed by Russian officials to open up unofficial lines of communication with influential leaders in the National Rifle Association, one of my favorites, as you know, and the Republican Party, trying to open up unofficial lines of communication. And she remains in custody today, folks, while working with prosecutors and having been in jail for 5 months already. She's been sitting in jail for 5 months. And Maria Butina has worked, according to her Russian boss, in doing what he wants. His name is Alexander Torshin. And she's also been working with her American boyfriend, evidently, a Republican operative, who reportedly helped her with what she called her diplomacy project. And I'm going to throw in another storm here. I've got this other one that I want to talk about. That's not where it ends. You know, there's always more. But wait, there's always more. Well, the fourth storm, and, you know, we're talking about the NRA here, so we might as well throw this one in right now. Robert Mueller is investigating the meetings between the NRA and powerful Russians, trying to figure out if those contacts had anything to do with the NRA spending $30 million to help elect Donald Trump. In fact, Senator Ron Wyden has been prodding the NRA forever to explain the sources of its foreign contributions to no avail. He's not getting anywhere with this. You know, in this Republican Congress and Republican Senate, he's been getting nowhere, trying to find out who were the foreign contributors to the NRA fund that they then spent to help elect Donald Trump. Until now. He's had no luck until now, folks. And obviously, with the Democrats controlling the House of Representatives, you can now expect the House Judiciary Committee to drag the NRA in front of the committee to testify in this new year that's coming up. You can bank on that. And I'm telling them, they had better do it quickly here, folks, because the NRA is reported a $45 million loss in the 2016 calendar year. And they say that it sounds like they're going bankrupt. They say that New York Governor Cuomo's recent blacklisting efforts are driving them to bankruptcy. Well, too bad. Too sad, too bad. And we've got more to come. And folks, I want you to stay tuned because we're going to get all revved up. We got to do it. We've got to get revved up again for healthcare. So stand right there. So here we go again, folks. Here we go again. The old rubber band man, Donald Trump, has been at it again. You know, it's time to armor up, is all I can tell you, because we've got another friggin' healthcare fight brought to you by your favorite president, Donald Trump, and the Republican attorney generals from 20 states who chose, I want you to get this, they've chosen the most likely judge to hear their case, and his name is Reed O'Connor in Fort Worth, Texas. To say this man is a conservative is an understatement. He sounds like the incarnation of Roy Moore, for God's sakes. Well, they found the most likely judge, this man, Reed O'Connor, to hear their case to repeal Obamacare. This judge, Reed O'Connor, decided that since Congress repealed the mandate to have insurance or face a fine, he says because that was repealed, the whole law around Obamacare must be thrown out. The whole thing gets thrown out. You know, after a while, I have to admit here, you know, with this healthcare fight and watching it evolve or devolve, you know, whichever you had like to say, probably more devolve, really. After 2 years of watching this thing literally just devolve, I feel like, you know, we're all fighting the undead Republican zombies. And here again, just in time for Christmas, we get this news that this judge has decided to repeal Obamacare because of that. And the way that this was crafted, folks, was very, very sneaky. Very sneaky by the Republicans. Ordinarily, you can't rely on a judge to get a case, and a particular judge to get a case. You just can't rely that, oh yeah, that judge is going to take the case, because the courts rely on a lottery system to assign cases. That's how they do it. But the Wichita Falls court is staffed by one judge. You guessed it, Reed O'Connor. He's the one that's in the Fort Worth chambers. Well, excuse me, the Wichita Falls Court chambers. It's staffed by this one judge, and his chambers are in Fort Worth. So it actually, when you look at it and you kind of shape this whole thing up, it was a nice sleazy move by the Republicans. Nice and sleazy. It had to go to this guy if they went through this this avenue. The Wichita Falls Court, which is staffed by this guy whose chambers are in Fort Worth, they had no choice but to give it to this guy. Nice and sleazy. That's how it is these days, folks. Real, real sleazy. You just can't turn your back on these people. It's not enough that with the stroke of a pen, they can give themselves, the richest of the rich, a big fat tax cut. It's not enough that they can do that. With a stroke of another pen, they can give corporations a big fat tax cut too. But when it comes down to the one thing that would help middle class America, our healthcare, repeatedly and methodically, it gets ripped apart. It gets voted against. It gets diluted. It now almost kicked and killed out of existence with this Judge Reed O'Connor. And you, as well as I know, that every civilized nation, including over 1.3 billion people in Chinese, the Chinese people in China, have access to health care. But not in America, folks. And I've talked about this too. In most, if not all of these countries, they have better health outcomes than we do here in the United States with their health care plans for all of their people. They have better outcomes. They live longer than we do. So I'm not buying the fact that we've got the best healthcare system in the world. We do if you're rich. If you're rich, we've got the best damn healthcare you can shake a stick at, which is why the Republicans don't want to do a darn thing about it, because they're all filthy rich and they give each other money. They give these tax cuts with a stroke of a pen, but they won't give Americans access to healthcare. They'll fight you for it. They'll fight you. That's how effed up the Republicans are. That's how it is. This is not anything new. We know what we're dealing with. But I ask you this, did they not listen to Americans who voted in the last midterm election that Trump's government is broken and corrupt and we're sick and tired of Republicans trying to take our health care away and at the same time rolling back protections as a part of that health care for pre-existing conditions? We are sick and tired of it. And Republicans time and time again have treated the Affordable Care Act like a redheaded stepchild. They've beat it up to an almost lifeless state. And if you hear Republicans scream that Obamacare isn't working, and they do scream that, when you hear it, it's not because they've done something to help it. It's because they've almost killed it instead of building on it, instead of fixing it. That's why it's not working. And you know, the travesty of this whole thing is they've had 2 years that they've just sat twiddling their thumbs. They could have been fixing it. They could have been building on it, but they've done nothing. And now they're trying to kill it. And many Republicans who supported this lawsuit had the audacity to stand there with a straight face in the last midterm election and tell their constituents that they supported pre-existing conditions while encouraging this lawsuit that Reid O'Connor just ruled on. Governor Scott Walker, just across the Mississippi in Wisconsin, is one of those guys. And he just got voted out. Thank God. Thank God you're gone, Scott Walker. Don't let the door hit you in the ass. It's time to get the rest out, America. We got to get the rest of them out, and we've got to take back the Senate. Don't let them lie to you any longer. And you know, the best thing that Donald Trump, the best thing that old boy Donald Trump could say about this ruling was that it was a great ruling. What makes it so great? What makes the ruling so great, Donald Trump? Republicans, they've got nothing in terms of health care. And they've yet to put any pen to paper to create anything related to a health care plan. They have not even put pen to paper to create anything like a health care plan yet. And Donald Trump says this is a great ruling. He's certifiably nuts, folks. He's certifiably nuts. And there's nothing great about putting 20 million Americans in health care jeopardy. There's nothing great about that. There's nothing great about kicking 20 million Americans off healthcare that make America great again. I call that BS. There's nothing great about it. It's time to put the country first and not just the rich first. And you always hear the rhetoric that the Affordable Care Act isn't working for Americans from the Republicans. You hear it time and time again. I heard it this morning on Face the Nation from that little, what is he? Stephen Miller. And what's going on with his forehead? Did you see that in Face the Nation? What in the Sam Hill did he put on his forehead hairline? I mean, this man is just, in so many ways, he's off his rocker. And I don't know what's up with him, but he had the audacity to say that the Health Care Act was not working for Americans. Because you want to know something? They're not going to do a damn thing to fix health care, and they never have. They've had 2 years to fix it, and what have they done? They've tried and tried and tried to tear it down, dilute the coverage. They've tried to wreak havoc with it. They've tried to point at how it's so expensive. The exchanges are not working. 2 years of nothing but hate for the Affordable Care Act. 2 years of lip service from the Republicans that they can do better. 2 years of lies, and all they want to do is take it away and kill it for good. But we're not going to give it up. We're not going to give it up that easily. You know, like that storyline in the movie, we're mad as hell, and no, we're not going to take the crap anymore. Let them know how you feel, America. Let them know how you feel about this ruling by contacting your congressman or congresswoman. And while you're at it, sit down and send a letter to the New Orleans-based Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, where you will find 11 active judges appointed by Republican presidents, including 5 of those judges that Donald Trump just appointed. And along with that batch, you're only going to find 5 Democratic appointees out of the 11. Only 5. So this thing is, it needs some attention. Send them a letter telling them that your health care is important and you want it fixed and not taken away and killed. Send your letters to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. You can send them to 600 Camp Street, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70130. And send them to the attention of the clerk of the circuit court, Lyle W. Cayce, C-A-Y-C-E. And Lyle can also be reached at 504-310-7700. And in my show notes, I've got the address that you can sit down and send them a letter telling them that your health care is important and you want it fixed, not taken away. It's time to put our country first, folks. And it's time to put the country first on healthcare for 20 million Americans. And after 2 years of Donald Trump, there's no excuse for the Affordable Care Act to not be serving 20 million Americans with great coverage. He's had 2 years to do it, and he's done diddly squat. He sits there tweeting. Instead of talking about things like this and getting it done, God knows what he's doing. He's not working for you, I can tell you that. And instead, after 2 years of doing nothing, they're going to kill it, and we're not going to let it happen. You know, as well as I know, that the American people deserve to be treated better than that, and we will be treated better than that, but we're going to have to move on it. And so, folks, that's where we stand right now. It's certainly not over. And until next time, you've got a friend in Donald Trump. We'll talk to you then. ¶¶